got a TH. Should finish it up. I'm not going to read everything. I don't know. Maybe not. 8 to 10. Oscar, were you going to come sing a solo?
Okay.
How about at 5:30?
And nobody's in here. Nobody's in here. Sing a solo.
8 o'clock.
Okay.
We'll go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand this, and I do thank you for the testimony here, and help us also to recognize that when issues like this come up in life, not every issue is resolved in this life. This one is, and I pray that you'd help us to see that some issues will never be resolved. And I just pray that you'd help us to keep our belief and faith in thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, what makes Esther exciting is because there was an issue that came up, a tragic issue. Could have been real tragic, but it was solved in this life. And living in America with television and novels and things most times, like television, it's amazing that in a Bill Cosby 30-minute sitcom, there's a problem that's at the beginning and they solve it in 30 minutes. Wouldn't it be nice if life was like that? Solve it in 30 minutes? I don't think Bill Cosby's had the other problem that he's had solved. I don't think that will be solved in this life. But Joseph had an issue in his life, and it was solved in his life, and he was able to look back on it, and he got to live a wonderful thing after his great tragedy of life. And Job had the same thing, where it was a tragic event that he was able to, probably didn't get the answer in this life. I don't know if the Lord did answer it, but at least he was able to live a long time after that. And David also had, he was on the run, and then he became king. The promise for us is not that. People tend to think it is. In Romans 8:28, where it says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Often people tend to think that that will be something that will be solved in this life, and that's not what Romans 8 is applying to. Because when you read the context, it's talking about the redemption of our body. At the judgment seat, that's when we will gain understanding about the thorn in the flesh that God didn't remove from our lives. Okay, remember Paul prayed about that three times, and God didn't give him a solution in this life. So that's where we need to remain faithful, even though God's not answering that one certain or whatever prayer that we would like, the circumstances changed. And that's where Jesus told Paul, my grace is sufficient. Okay, so now in Esther, they got the problem solved in their life. And as the fairy tales say, I suppose they live happily ever after. And so the doctrine of the letter or of the book, the doctrine is clearly that it's a picture of the rapture of the church, where a Gentile bride was removed and a Gentile bride was placed in. Okay, and that's in essence like the pre-tribulation rapture. And it's sad that a lot of people are, a lot of Christians are dumping the idea of the pre-tribulation rapture. In Mike Pearl's handbook for Revelation, in the front part, he says something about the pre-tribulation rapture. And he says, we know you mid-tribbers and you post-tribbers, you're going to be, I don't know, he said something like, you're going to be pleasantly surprised. He just didn't elaborate on it. But the tribulation time period, the first occurrence of the word is in Deuteronomy under the law. That's the first occurrence. And then you have, in the New Testament, the first occurrence is in Matthew 24. And that's clearly about Israel. And so the tribulation is a time period of Israel. So the church has to be gone. It just cannot be around during that time period, because those 70 years are between God and Israel. So Esther is portraying that. Esther would be the Jew or Israel in the tribulation. Mordecai would portray possibly one of the 144,000 that are redeemed at the end. And then Haman portrays the Antichrist. So in that story, you give a man enough rope, he'll hang himself. And boy, he was sort of kind of elaborate. Can you imagine how quick they got a gallows up, in a 75-foot gallows in 24 hours? Man, they must have had Amish around that area to bring them all in to get it all up that quick. Just slapped it up. Okay, so in chapter 7, we got the death of Haman. Okay, so in the Bible, that'd be Revelation 19, where the Antichrist and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire. But they still have unfinished business that they have to take care of, and that's that a law was passed, and because this is Media Persia, once a law was passed, they could not nullify the law, so they had to write a second law to go contrary or a solution of the first law. And the reason why they did that is because if you went back and forth from Media King to Persian King, Media King, that they couldn't just change things as they wished. So once it was in place, it remained in place. And so that law was still in place, but now Mordecai is going to write a second law that gives the Jews the right of self-defense. And that is a biblical term, the right of self-defense. In early American days, the Christians would argue about what is a just war. What is a just war? There was a general, I forget his name, that wrote War is a Racket. Does anybody remember that book? War is a Racket. And the financiers usually fund both sides of the war. Huh? Yeah, that's it. Smedley. Okay. And wars today are just media push today. So here in Esther 8, we do have the solution for them. Okay, in verse 1, on that day did King Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen. Can you imagine Mrs. Haman when that happened? Can you imagine what her mind was going through? And all the friends of Haman? And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. Okay, so this is a ring that they have, a seal of the king, and when they have this document, they'll drip a little wax on the edge of it, then they'll take this seal and push it down on it, okay, and then that's he's given to him, so once this law is made, it's sealed. In the New Testament, it's a portrayal of seal of the Holy Ghost. Okay, and Esther left, or set Mordecai over the house of Haman. Okay, Esther spake yet again before the king and fell down at his feet and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite. Okay, Agagite. If you run a cross-reference on that, remember, if your memory goes back to King Saul, where God dumped King Saul because he told Saul to kill Agag, all the people, men, women, children, ox, ass, sheep, everything, and he did not. And look what comes back and haunts the nation of Israel. Okay, that's similar to the Jews when they came in the land of Canaan. God says, kill all the giants, and then some of them didn't go all the way into that, killing all the giants, and those giants became a thorn to them. So it wasn't a complete obedience to God. And Saul's disobedience to God came back and haunted the nation of Israel. And that's Haman. Now, if he would have obeyed, there probably would have been somebody else in the works down the line. Okay, but now Esther's concerned about that law that was passed and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther rose and stood before the king and said, "If it please the king and I have found favor in his sight." Okay, so this is the restoration of Israel after the second coming. "And if things seem right before the king and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters." Okay, reverse that law. Reverse the plans there. "Devised by Haman, the son of," look at that, Hamad, Adatha, the Agagite, "which he wrote to destroy the Jews which are in all the king's provinces. And how can I endure to see the evil that shall come upon my people, or shall I endure to see the destruction of my kindred?" Okay, reverse the letters. I had a preacher friend that because Esther doesn't have the word God or Lord in it, he took the idea of reverse the letters, and he found six or seven places where if you take the first letter of three words at the end of the verse, it's spelled G-O-D backwards. And so he said, well, there it is, God in reverse. Now, I'm not going to hang my hat much on that. Okay, and there are some that have a Bible code. I remember reading this Bible code book where they kind of go zigzagging through the Bible. And some people are looking for those things. They forget to read the words themselves. "So then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen, to Mordecai the Jew." Okay, now he knows the nationality of Esther. "Behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows because he laid his hand upon the Jews." So again, the Antichrist. "Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring, for the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse." Okay, the next verse is the longest verse in the Bible. Got 90 words in it. So Bryce, you have to memorize this to be able to say it next week. 90 words in this. Longest verse. Shortest verse is John 11:35. And like Sam Gipp says, Jesus Christ. He can't even get that one right. Okay, "then were the king's scribes called at the time in the third month," that is the month Sivan. So third month. Now, the date for this previous law is 12th month, so they're working 9 months in advance. So they're making sure they got plenty of time to get this through the whole prompt. This is a large, large kingdom. This might be a kingdom associated, you know, in the past with Tartaria or something like that, some advanced kingdom. But yet, it says, "in the 30 years, month Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews." So Mordecai knew legal affairs, so he no doubt wrote this thing with no loopholes and made sure that this was going to protect the Jewish people or allow them to protect themselves. Okay, and the lieutenants and the governors or deputies and the rulers of the provinces. And so you can see where we get names for public officials, military leaders. And then it says, "which are from India unto Ethiopia." That's a pretty vast kingdom. All in that Middle Eastern area. And 127 provinces. "Unto every province, according to the writing thereof, unto every people after their language." So you had multiple languages through here. Okay, America, you know, we do have English, you know, but some people talk English in one place versus another place that have their little differences in their words. But he's got different languages. "And the Jews, according to their writing, according to their language," so they had wrote it Hebrew. "And he wrote in King Ahasuerus' name and sealed it with the king's ring and sent letters by post." Okay, so there's, we don't do that anymore, do we? Send letters by post. Okay, so that's where we get the idea of the postman, post office. Post office is the constitutional one. Postal Service is a company. So you have two different things side by side. But still the idea is that the mail was sent out by post. And here's an example of the Pony Express. On horseback, riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries. So obviously the horses couldn't run through Saudi Arabia in that area because of the desert. So they're getting this letter out there all over the place. And so this is also telling us that the Jews were scattered throughout this kingdom, as the Jews will be scattered throughout the world. Okay, they're scattered everywhere. And in the tribulation, they're going to be scattered further. The Bible says they're going to be scattered from one end of the earth to the other end. So all over the place. Okay, and then it says, and when the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand by their life, to destroy, to slay, to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, we still use that term, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for prey. So if somebody takes upon themselves, okay, this law is in effect, so we're going to go after some prey, we're going to go after some Jews, we're going to try to get their property, and if people were foolish enough to do that, these Jews had about nine months to build, to purchase some weapons, to dig possibly pits around their property, so if somebody comes in, they fall in a pit. So they had to get ready for self-defense. And of course, the Bible does allow this, but in the old days, they called this just wars. What is a just war? Okay, what is a war that is allowed to be scriptural? Now, we know under the Old Testament, because God had the Jews to go in, that was an offensive war. But in the New Testament, what is a just war? It's a defensive war. Okay, this is why we have the Department of Defense. So the war in Iraq, was that defense? No, it was not. Okay, and the Vietnam War, was that defense? No, it was not. Okay, and if your mind dwells on this and allow it to dwell and eat at you, you'll get really bitter towards government officials who abuse young men as pawns, and then they got to deal with PTSD, all this stuff that they got to deal with, and separation from their family, and how many their spouse left them because they've been gone for a long way. And then when the soldiers come back, the Congress and them just spit in their face. If all the soldiers and the police officers if the police officers in Canada would just get together and say, Trudeau, if you want this, you go out and do it. These politicians have zero power if it wasn't for the police and the military. And yet these people are so Biden and Harris and Pelosi, these people are so rude and hate the military, but yet they use them for their own gain. And we know that, of course, the Lord is going to honor the ones that sincerely followed what they were felt required to do. But it's just rather, like in Israel's day, Saul, why did they get Saul to be king? Why did the children of Israel want Saul to be king? To go out and fight their battles, right? Well, there's Goliath. Why did he go do it? That's why they got the guy. And he didn't go do it. Okay, and this is often the sad portion of that. So they're allowing a just war. They're allowing the Jews to defend themselves. So in verse 12... upon one day in all the province of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar. Okay, isn't it coincidence, 13th day? The number 13. And so there it is. And they, of course, got that number by casting lots, because this is what political officials do, is they try to get the desires of spirits to guide them. And so they casted lots and landed on that day. And remember that Haman was upset because it was going to take so long. And then it says, the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was punished or published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready against the day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the post rode upon mules and camels, went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment, and the decree was given at Shushan the palace. So one place, they sent it all over the place, and they've got, by the time they got it to each location, you know, they got this thing written about the third month, and they getting ready for the 12th month. So by the time this all got to different locations, maybe it only got there, it took maybe 3 months to get it all out there. By the time King George signed the Prohibitory Act, which was January 1st, before the colonists actually saw this act was in late February or mid-February. That's when John Adams wrote about it. And by the time they got it filtered through the colonies, they didn't fully get it until, say, about April. And then by the time they got everybody together, it wasn't until July 4th when they signed the Declaration of Independence. But that was based upon something that King George signed on January 1st. So that's how long it's taken through. This is why they had to get all this going, because of the distances between places. And so then Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad, except for Haman's boys, his wife, and his friends. And can you imagine what was going through their head? Okay, the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. A good day. This is where we get that saying. We say to people, have a good day. That's where we get that from, right there. It's going to say it over several times. And many of the people of the land became Jews. Okay, again, they can become Jews religiously. This is known as Jewish proselytes. In Zechariah 8:23, it prophesies that many Gentiles in the millennium will become Jews. They will grab onto the skirt of him that's called a Jew. They will become religious proselytes. That's what the Ethiopian eunuch was before he got born again. He was a religious Jew. And Sammy Davis Jr. was a Jew. You ever see that little spoof where Sammy Davis Jr. is boxing Wilt Chamberlain? Chamberlain's 7'1", and what's Sammy Davis Jr.? Was he even 5 feet tall? You know, he was like punching into his kneecap. But, that would be a religious Jew. Okay, not a natural-born Jew. So, this is what they're... Hey, if you can't beat them, you join them. So they're smart for doing this. And then, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Okay, the same will happen in the millennial time period. In the millennial time period, there will be enemies of Jesus Christ. Okay, I don't get that. I don't get it when you have a sinless king on the earth, no scandals, he requires nothing from you, except for your worship to come in on a certain time. And when you do that, then you'll have, you know, the crops and the rain and all you need. And then he's got enemies. And then you can gather an army, or the devil can gather an army as the sands of the sea. Is that not the pride of men? That's just amazing. Okay, now chapter 9, now they're getting ready for this special day, this 13th, 14th, and 15th day, because he wants to make sure they've got their bases covered. So in verse 1, you got the 12th month, the month of Adar, 13th day of the month. Okay, so it seems like, you know, kings like to change the calendars because of their ego. And I have not a clue how close our calendar is to anything. I mean, we have not a clue because we can't go in the past to figure everything out. Now, we can run the calendar from Adam to Jesus. That we can pretty much get. But this church time period, it's kind of iffy in the Greco-Roman calendar and all that stuff. But, okay, they had their own calendar system, verse 1. Okay, and then it says inside that parenthesis, though it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them. So these are the ones that's going to be going to try to take from the Jews. Verse 2, the Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt, self-defense. And no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all the people. This fear of them was thoughts that God put in the mind of these people to have a fear for the Jew. This is the power of God, where he's laying the groundwork, making it easier for the Jews to win these battles. And then it says, and all the rulers of the provinces, the lieutenants, the deputies, the officers of the king, helped the Jews. Good, good, good. Because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. So now, the reason why the governing structures are getting behind this, because of their fear of Mordecai. Mordecai was great in the king's house. Great in the sense of what people determine greatness. How do people determine greatness? Okay, it's ingrained in us. They determine greatness for boys or the male figure to be, number one, intelligence, okay, money, wealth, and beauty. That's usually the order. Now, the wealth and the beauty can be interchangeable, but usually intelligence is the first one, and then the wealth backs it up. And we say to little boys, you're a smart little boy. For the girls, for the females, it's usually beauty first, and of course, that's determined upon what people think is beauty, and then it can be wealth, and then intelligence, okay? And of course, this is ingrained where we say you're a cute little girl. So this is how man determines greatness. When Daniel interpreted the dream for Nebuchadnezzar, it says the king made Daniel great. No, he didn't. Daniel was great because of his character. But in the eyes of people, he made Daniel great because of his intelligence to interpret the dream. And then he lavished wealth on him, okay? And that's where his greatness as far as the world. From God's perspective, God determines the value of a soul at Calvary. So we can say so-and-so in the Old Testament was a great man. In the New Testament, I think we ought to say so-and-so has a great God. I think that'd be a better route. But, you know, you understand how people talk. And so this is where Mordecai was exalted, okay, in the empire. He was great in the king's house, and his fame went out through all the provinces for this man. Mordecai waxed greater and greater. And the Lord is laying that foundation because he has something going on here. Then verse 5, thus the Jews smote all the enemies at the stroke of the sword, and slaughter and destruction did what they would unto them that had hated them. And then there's the boys of Haman, 10 boys. Okay, so these boys, it says they slew them, but yet then a little further it shows how they did it, and they did it by hanging. Okay, and so verse 12, the king said unto Esther the queen, the Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan the palace, and the 10 sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now, I wonder where Mrs. Haman was, because it doesn't mention her. If she lived out her life, would she live out in bitterness, or did she live out in, boy, I could have really been in a mess. So could she live their life out in gratitude? Who knows? There's nothing said here. And it said, what have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now, what is thy petition, and it shall be granted thee, or what is thy request further, and it shall be done? Then said Esther, if it please the king, let it be granted to the Jews which are in Shushan to do tomorrow as according unto the day's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows. Wow. Now we see what happened to them. And so, of course, in our custom, you know, you had the gallows in the old days. And where America was wrong is that they hung people for being a horse thief. And that's not a biblical thing to do. If a guy's a horse thief, he's supposed to go get 7 horses and give them to the person he stole from. Okay? Or whatever criteria could be. If it was found, you give 2. If it's not found, you give 4, 4 or 5. So it's just depending. You don't hang somebody for being a thief. Okay? You take someone's life because they took somebody else's life. But justice is what it is in different places. So they hanged his 10 boys. Okay, and then, verse 15, then they had to protect themselves also on the 14th day. And then they had to protect themselves also on the 15th day. So this, can you imagine, 3 days just kind of watching, being alert, trying to protect your own property, protect your life. And as a result of this, after the 15th day, because this came out to be a great holiday for them, at the end of verse 18, notice it was made a day of feasting and gladness. So this became what's known as Purim. It is still a Jewish holiday today. And usually when the rabbi tells this story of Esther and Mordecai and Haman, and they get the Jewish people together, the Jewish kids, and when they tell this story and when they mention Haman, the kids will stomp on the pews and hiss, you know, like he's the Antichrist. And then they shout gladness when they're hung and everything. And people say, man, you shouting gladness for hanging, all that stuff, you know, it's kind of morbid. Yeah, but if somebody would have assassinated Hitler, there'd a lot of lives been saved. You know, you take one life for a lot, and so, yeah, you can have rejoicing in that. So in verse 20, it said, Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews from all the provinces. And this is establishing this special day, Purim. And verse 22, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month was turned unto them from sorrow to joy. Sorrow to joy, if you go to the cross reference, John 16, is sorrow, tribulation, joy, millennium. In John 16, about verse 20 and 21. This will be the Lord Jesus using that idea, from sorrow to joy. And from mourning into a good day, there we go again, so have a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy and of sending portions one to another and gifts to the poor. So the remembering poor kind of sounds like a holiday we have. Okay, and the Jews undertook to do as they begun and as Mordecai had written unto them, because Haman, the son of that guy, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against Jews to destroy them and cast pur, that is, the lot, to consume them and to destroy them. And when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that wicked device, his wicked device, which he devised against, oh, there you go, there's a device, that's the noun, a device, there's the verb, kind of like advise and advice. So you got that, against the Jews, should return upon his own head, and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. Wherefore they called these days Purim, after the name of Pur. Therefore, for all the words of this letter and that which they had seen concerning this matter and which had come unto them, the Jews ordained, established took upon them and upon their seed and upon all that has joined themselves unto them. That would be the proselytes, the Jewish proselytes. So as it should not fail that they should keep these 2 days according to their right, to their writing and according to their appointed time every year. Verse 28 became a memorial. And that's a good thing to do, to remember those, to remember history. 29, then Esther the queen, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew wrote with all authority. Kind of sounds like the Lord, where they were astonished at his doctrine and authority, to confirm this second letter of Purim. And he sent letters unto all the Jews to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus with the words of peace and truth. Wonderful, encouraging thing that they had. Okay, so they established a special holiday. Now in chapter 10, it's a very short chapter. Mordecai displays the proper, perfect attitude that a public official should display for a people. And if you have this attitude, it says in Proverbs that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, and the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. And so down south, they've been complaining that somebody's putting stickers on gas stations with Biden's picture and said, I did this, pointing at the high price of fuel. Okay, and Americans definitely are mourning. I mean, it's just nonsense. I mean, it's got to be a laughingstock to the world. We have our own Nebuchadnezzar, who has lost his mind, being controlled by, you know, controllers. Jill Biden being a controller. Most certainly she's a controller. I mean, he says that Putin has invaded Russia. And then he says that the Iranian people will not be deterred from this. I mean, what a thing. I mean, I always wondered about that Nebuchadnezzar thing. How can this guy stay in office for 7 years? And here we've got it displayed right in front of us. And so Mordecai displays what the Americans tried to establish in America by an oath and bonds. And you could do your best, but you know the flesh is going to get around everything it can. The flesh is like water seeking its own level. The flesh is like a serpent. And you can do all you can as try to box these people in. Chapter 10, verse 1, and King Ahasuerus laid a tribute upon the land and upon the isles of the sea. And all the acts of his power and of his might and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced him, are they not written in a book of the chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? Okay, so they had those two. But verse 3, Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus and great among the Jews and accepted of the multitude of his brethren. And then here's what he was like, seeking the wealth of his people. Seeking the wealth of his people, wanting them the liberty to keep their own labor. When people are given liberty, it's amazing what they can do. America is a very unusual experiment. And so it's just a matter of maintaining this and then speaking peace to all his seed. So this would be peace and prosperity, but the prosperity is earned through wisdom and work. And then you can see, of course, we have American history to see that. So Mordecai gives a tremendous example, and may God have mercy in the country to give somebody like him. Okay, there we got through that. Let's go and pray. Lord, I thank you for your words, and I do pray and ask you'd help us to understand your words, help us to Lord, we ask that you would have mercy in our country. Things are just so weird. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be faithful to thee and recognize that our Bible study is something that not only benefits us, it's a blessing to you, but it also is a blessing to our country. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.